have the transmission. So I'm going down. I hit the gravel. And I hit the gravel, not at speed, but just fast enough. Hit the gravel, so I corrected, but I corrected incorrectly. And correcting incorrectly spun me around into a donut, straight down the gully, went down about 6 or 7 feet. Once they start sliding, it don't matter, you're just hanging on. And I was just going down, and all I could think of, no, my new toy. And wasn't worried about myself. Hit a tree, and I'm wedged up against a tree. Go back, get the patrol, get the tow strap out again, block up the whole road, pull the thing out. No scratches on it, fortunately. It's all sweet. Did get a puncture on the front tire, but everything else is okay. Tony survived. Good news. Good news. So if you buy a zero turn, come and I'll coach you. I'll show you what not to do. Just crazy. Good news in a bad news world. Good news in a bad news world. I think the church needs to get a new posture. I really do. I think the church just needs to get a new posture in the way that we approach good news. And to realize we have the best news in the world. We have the best story, and it's not a story like once upon a time. I read some once upon a time stories when I was a kid. They're made up, if you didn't know. The Bible is not a once upon a time story. The event of Jesus dying on the cross is not once upon a time. The resurrection is not once upon a time. These are events that took place, recorded in the Word of God, aspects of it recorded historically. And we need to celebrate the good news of everything that God is and everything that God does, and to celebrate the fact that God's good news needs to invade every negative space there is in life. Wherever there's anxiety, bring the good news of God. Josh spoke about it before, about depression. Wherever there's depression, bring hope. Bring the good news of what God, what Jesus can do. So wherever people are ruled by fear, anxiety, shame, guilt, accusation, God wants to break that and bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus into every bad space that there is. You know, it's good news that Jesus died for us. I never really worked this out when I was young. I couldn't work out why they called Good Friday, Good Friday, when it was the day that celebrated the death of someone. I couldn't figure that out, really, in a young mind. Why it would be I would have called it Bad Friday. Like, Bad Friday. Bad Friday that Jesus was nailed to the cross. Bad Friday that those Jews did what they did and killed Jesus. Bad Friday that his life was taken and he was brutalized in the way that he was. But it's actually called Good Friday, and rightly so, because it's all good news, and it's a good news story for all of us that Jesus Christ laid down his life, paid the price for us so that we could be rescued, so that we could be redeemed, as Pastor Marichelle spoke about last week. He redeemed us, meaning he paid the price for us and brought us back, that he would rebuild us, renew us, refresh us, revive us, and ultimately resurrect us. It's all good news. Now, you've got to help me today. Last week, I was, along with a few other people, in a group of people that were celebrating the election of the new mayor of Logan. And we were in the room. And the room was jam-packed. There was about 100 people in this room. Some were there. We were on the front row. On the front row. And he gave his first speech in terms of possibly becoming the new mayor. Every word he spoke, the crowd cheered. Literally, almost every word he spoke. And I'm leaning over to Heath thinking, I'd love to preach to this crowd. This is the crowd to preach to. John thought he was given the greatest speech in the world. It wasn't about the speech. It was about the response in the hearts of the people. That's what it was about. So please help me today. In terms of posture in church, find your voice today and yell out. If it's good, yell out. If it's not, oh no, it's not good. And we'll move along and we'll go straight to hospitality. You know, the good news is it's good news for all, not just some. It's not just good news for white people, it's good news for every people. It's good news for every land, every nation, every group. Good news for male, female, young, old, it's good news. Good news is, it's not about what it's good news to, it's just good news, it just is. like God is. It just is. It just exists. His good news message is a powerful message for everybody, everywhere, every time, and in every way. And here's what the posture of the church needs to be. We are called to be proclaimers, not protesters. Not, I have had people for years wanting me to be a protester. And I made a decision when I was a young man, which is a long time ago. When I was a young man, I made a decision my decision was my voice would not be a protest voice. My voice would be a proclaiming voice. In other words, I'd bring a message of faith, hope, life, love, grace, mercy, all those good things about the Bible. I'd bring that message about the plans and the purposes of God rather than bringing a negative message about what we're against. You'll never find me on the side of the road with a banner protesting about something. You'll find me in a pulpit. You'll find me on a stage. You'll find me on a platform declaring with faith the things that God is and the things that God plans to do and wants to do in your life, my life, our world. God's got good plans. Everyone say good plans, because it's good news for every single one of us, no matter who you are. And I'm here today just to share a really simple message about the good news that we are called to proclaim. Psalm 68 says this: the Lord gave the word. Would you notice that? He gave the word, not me. It's not my word. It's His word. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Called to be proclaimers. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. In the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord gives the word, and a great army brings the good news. We want to be that great army. We want to be the great army. That's what we're called to be and do, to bring the good news of Jesus into every space in life. We're not here to bring a negative message. We are proclaimers of good news, not bad news. I'm not here to tell you how bad you are. You already know that. Just point at your neighbor right now and say, preaching to you and that is good preaching. Preaching to you and that is good preaching. We all know how bad we are. You don't need to be told that. I want to tell you how good God is. I want to tell you how good God is working in your world and working in your life. I never want people to be sitting in church in shame or in pain and agony with the weight of sin and guilt and habit and addiction or whatever it might be. I want to tell people of the plans of God to break you free. I want to tell people of the plans of God to make you well. That's what I want to do. I think that's the message that God wants us to proclaim, that Jesus still saves, He still rescues, He still restores, He still redeems, He still rebuilds. And so today, I really want to mess with your theology today. I want to mess with your belief today. I just want to shake you a little bit today about a simple truth, a really simple truth that we need to get our heads around and to understand in terms of how we live this faith life. It's the word righteous. Last week we looked at the fact that we're redeemed. This week we're going to look at the fact that we are righteous. And I want to do this because I think so often we don't feel righteous. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. There's a lot of people that still come to church and love God with all of their heart, love God, but they don't really feel a sense of righteousness. The Bible talks about self-righteousness, which is wrong because it's all about self and what you create yourself. When I talk about righteousness, I'm talking about what God has done and is doing in your heart and in your mind and in your life. The book of Romans says this. We're going to look at this first point. The good news is that we have been made right. I want you to know today you've been made right. You've been made right. This is important because for a lot of people, they flip that and they focus and concentrate and are more aware about everything that is wrong with them than what is right with them. And there is a whole lot more right with you than there is wrong with you. There's a whole lot more right with you than there is wrong with you. No matter who you are, no matter how broken you may feel, no matter how damaged you may have been, there is more right with you than wrong with you. And I want you to know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're trying to love God, you're trying to live the God life, you're trying to have faith, I want you to know you've been made right already with God. Romans 3:22 says, we have been made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Can we stop there? That's really important. How are we made right with God? by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're made right with God. And Paul says, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I love that. No matter who we are, no matter how we feel, I'm going to talk about feelings in a moment, no matter how we feel, we are made right with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us when he died on the cross, which we're celebrating this Friday, on Good Friday. It's good news that he died on the cross because it means you are made right with God. You are made, what a big statement that is, made right with God. Jesus has made you right with God. He's made you right with God. That needs to be our focus. It's so important because many believers struggle with this thought of being right with God, struggle with the thought of being righteous, struggle with that thought. Many live trapped by feelings of insecurity, feelings of I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy, I don't measure up, I did this or I did that, or I struggle with this or I struggle with that, or I have this thing going on in my life, or whatever it might be. And we use that as an excuse to convince ourselves that, well, God kind of loves me and I'm trying to pursue him, but I'm not sure I'm actually right with God. But I want to underscore for you today, you're not made right with God by anything else other than placing your faith in Jesus, and that this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I want to convince you today from the scriptures, from the Bible, that you can have a truth and a working knowledge of what it is to be righteous so that you can live a faith-filled life and you can live free. Anyone want to live free today? God just wants you to be free. You know, when you're free, people know it. People feel it. Just like you feel it when people are all bound up. You know that. You see that. And as a church leader, as a pastor, I feel that. I sense that when I'm in the presence of someone and they're all bound up. It affects them. It affects the way they engage and interact and relate. It affects the way they respond, their reactions. Sometimes a person's reaction is not about the problem. It's about what's going on internally inside of them. And God wants people to be freed of that, freed of that junk. If you've got that going on in your life, it's such a weight, it's such a burden, it's such a hindrance that God wants to strip off from you. And God wants you to know that if you're a believer, you have been made right with God. You've been made. That's why the Bible says that you can come boldly into the throne room of God's grace and mercy. You belong there. You don't have to crawl. You don't have to come in some way make God happy. God just loves you as you are. You've been made right with God. You're perfect, but not yet perfect. In other words, you're perfect, but you're still being perfected. You are. You're perfect, but you're still being perfected. You see, many people believe righteousness is about the way that they act. And they make righteousness about certain actions of righteousness. That, in my understanding, is holiness. Holiness is being set apart for God and walking and living a certain way. Righteousness, as I understand it, is who you are. Righteous is who I am. Righteous is who God is. God has either made me righteous or he hasn't made me righteous. God has either saved me or not saved me. God has either called me or not. What is it, God? I'm going to choose to believe this. I'm going to choose to believe. Any friends? Yeah. I'm going to choose to believe we've been made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not made right with God because I've come to church for 20 years or I've given offerings or whatever I've done or I share my faith or that doesn't make me righteous. The Bible says nobody can save themselves. Nobody can make themselves right with God. All of our attempts to get righteous ourselves are like dirty rags, is what the Bible says. No good for nothing. But Christ's righteousness makes you clean, makes you perfect, makes you acceptable, makes you a part of the family of God. You can't get righteous any other way than God making you righteous. So we are both holy and being made holy. We are righteous and we are being still made righteous. It's good news. It's good news that God is a celebrator, not a tolerator. I love the fact that God celebrates us. You know, the story of the prodigal son who messed up his life and went into a whole bad news world tells it in the Bible. It's a good story. It's in the book of Luke. And it talks about a son who asked for his inheritance early, left the family farm, wasted all the money, lived the good life in his eyes and lost it all, came back home. And when he came home to his father, who represents our father, Father God, when he came home, the father celebrated him. The son just wanted to be tolerated. He said, put me at the back. Make me a slave. I'll serve you the rest of my days. I don't even deserve to have the family name. And dad stopped him and said, shush, you're my son. Get a robe, put it on him. Get a ring, put it on him. Get sandals, put it on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate because my son is God's a celebrator. Oh, I wish the church would get this news. That God is a celebrator, not a tolerator. You know, it's one thing to tolerate. It's another thing to celebrate. And there is not a person in this room that God is tolerating. God will not tolerate you. He will celebrate you. He will celebrate you. He will promote you. He will bless you. He will enhance your world. He will favor you because God is a celebrator. He's not a tolerator. So if you're the kind of person, and there's lots of us, if you're the kind of person that struggles with the feeling of, am I good enough? Am I good enough for God's blessing? Am I good enough for God's favor? If you're struggling towards thinking that you're not one to receive the righteousness of God, can I encourage you today that God is never going to tolerate you? Many believers feel like God tolerates them rather than celebrates them, but I want everyone to know that God is celebrating you today. God's celebrating the fact that you came to church today. Yeah. Loves it. Loves it. Like, I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. And I love the fact whenever my family is around our table, whenever they're in our home, it's a celebration whenever family is around. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter where they're at. We celebrate because that's what family is. God's the ultimate family. He's your greatest cheerleader. He's your celebrator today. You don't have to appease him today. He appeased himself when Jesus died on the cross. It made God complete in terms of the way he looks at you. And he now looks at you and says, you're righteous. In other words, you're okay. You're okay. You know you're all that, but you're not. You are all that, but you're not. So you're still becoming more. You're still becoming. How many people have got some work to do in their life still? Come on. Come on. How many humans are in the room? Yeah, we're all human. We're all trying our best, and even trying our best, it won't be good enough. There's always that gap. There's always that gulf. There's always that great chasm between where we are and where we want to be. It's only God that gets us there. You know, these feelings that we have about not being good enough. Can I talk about feelings for a moment? Feelings are disruptors. Is what they are. We've all got feelings. We all feel different things. We all feel different emotions towards different circumstances and different situations. And when it comes to you and I being righteous, for many, we don't feel righteous. And it's our feelings that are dictating our response to that news, that good news of God. Where it says, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel right with God. I don't feel deserving in any way. What your feelings are doing is they are trying to control your state of being. Your state of being is being declared by God that you are made right, that you are righteous. That's what God has stated you as being. And righteousness is about your state of being, is what it is. Feelings, what they do is they try and disrupt your state of being. To tell you you're not that. You're not that. You're not one that belongs to God. You're not one that's good enough for God. You shouldn't come to church. You don't belong in there. There's no blessing for you. There's no favor for you. What feelings do is they fool you and they lie to you. They fool you and they lie to you and they manipulate your state of being. They can never change your state of being. Even if you feel not right, God says you're all right. God says you're all that. You are. But your feelings go, no, you're not. You ever had that going on? Come on. Can I get in your face for a moment? Yep. Right up. Let's get ugly. We sometimes feel that. That's why people stay away from church sometimes. That's why they don't get connected in groups. Because they feel like if people knew me, they wouldn't accept me. They wouldn't love me. They knew my story. They knew my journey. They knew my past. If they knew the things I've done. If they knew where I've been. So I live shallow. A lot of people live shallow. Shallow. They live in it but not of it. Like we're called to live in the world but not of the world. But when it comes to God's family, we're just in it. We're in it. We're in it and we're of it. We're a part of it. We belong to it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter what the things you've done, said, have been. God has made you right if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He has made you right, and this is true for everybody. What God did in terms of our feelings was, that shouldn't be there. Oh, wow. Can we put up the one that says God implemented a disruption plan, just like that? Did then. God implemented a disruption plan about how we feel about being right with Him. In other words, God disrupted that thought for us in terms of us feeling right about how we stand with Him. The Bible talks of it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For He," that's God the Father, "made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." In other words, we who knew sin, anyone knows sin? You know it well. You know it oh too well. You know it very well. Paul said, like Paul, we put him up as the big apostle, the big daddy of faith for us. You know, in the New Testament, he says, "I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners." So if Paul's the worst and the chief, where do you rank? Anyone going to give him a run for his money? We who knew sin were made righteous by Him who knew no sin. So we who know it well were made righteous by Him who didn't know it at all. And He took it on for all of us. And so God made Jesus what we were so that we could be what God said we are, which is righteous. You do God a disfavor when you walk around feeling unrighteous and you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because what you're saying is, what you did is not good enough for me. When you died, it didn't really include me. You're either right or you're not right. Anyone in the room always right? That is my reputation. Always right. That's a God thing. You're always right. Doesn't matter how you feel on a Monday or a Wednesday or a Friday or any other day for that matter. God has made you right through Christ Jesus. He has made you right. This is good news. This is great news that God has made you right through Christ Jesus. It's also good news that we are meant to forget what we were and remember what you are. Can I encourage you to forget what you were and remember what you are? Forget what you were and remember what you are. You see, many believers remember what they are supposed to forget, and they forget what they're supposed to remember. Many believers do that. They forget what they're supposed to forget. Well, they remember what they're supposed to forget. I just forgot it. And they forget what they're supposed to remember. The Godfather was right. Forget about it. Just turn to your neighbor and just say that to them, please. Forget about it. Forget about it. People often come to me because I know the stories of a lot of people because I'm pastor. And people come to me and tell me their stories, and we help them and counsel them and pray for them and all those good things, which are wonderful. And they'll come to me 5 years later and they'll go, "You remember that?" It's like, "Yeah, not really." I have a great forgettery for people's stories because I don't want to remember you as you were. I want to see you as you are. Made right with God. Righteous. Righteous. made right with God, living the plan and living the purpose of God. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. There is now no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. I think a lot of times believers downplay their sense of righteousness consciousness. Downplay their sense of righteousness consciousness. And many live remembering the ugly things they've done and live feeling unworthy to approach God. This is what I call sin consciousness. And a lot of believers are driven by a sin consciousness rather than a righteousness consciousness. A sin consciousness is focused on condemnation and negative outcomes, and rather than focusing on what Christ has done. As I said before, Christ has either made me right or he hasn't. And I need to decide, am I going to listen to the Word of God, or am I going to listen to my feelings about the Word of God? Because there is a big difference. My feelings, I'm not sure I can trust them. I'm not sure I should be led by my feelings. Like people say, follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. It's the last thing you should do is follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who's ever had problems in the room understanding your heart, like where it's leading you? What it says, it's because that's what the heart is. So you don't follow that feeling. We need something more concrete than that. We need a true north. We need a plumb line. We need something that's consistent, something that will never change. And something that will never change for you is the good news that God has made you righteous. He has made you righteous. He has made you righteous no matter how you feel. So when you walk in here, you've had a bad week. You've done something silly and something stupid. You've done something crazy. You can still walk through the door knowing God has made me righteous. I don't feel good about what I did, but I know God has made me righteous. He's made me right with him. We need to live with a right with God consciousness, that I'm right with God. Like, there's a scripture that we're all familiar with. It's Romans 3:23. It's one of those verses you learn when you want to talk to people about how to find relationship with God. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we know that. We know that. We know we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you keep reading, you see what Paul's full message is here. So he tells us, yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then he says, God in his grace, thank God for grace. God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. That's righteousness. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. And for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. That's way early in the Old Testament. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time when Christ died on the cross. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. You know, God's will is that we walk around every day with a focus on our righteous consciousness rather than our sin consciousness. You know, beating yourself up for every mistake and every silly thing and goof up and mess up and whatever that you've done in your life, that's a mistake. That's not going to make you more holy. Beating yourself up won't make you all holy. It's just going to waste a whole lot of time. It's going to affect you and every other relationship and connection that you have. It's going to cause you to hold your head down rather than hold your head up. It's going to cause you not to sing when you should be singing. It's going to cause you not to lift your hands when you should be lifting your hands. It's going to cause you not to praise and feel like you can't praise when you should be praising because your victory is found in that praise moment. It's going to cause you to do all that. And that's why we need to turn this around and flip the script on it. You see, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and you asked him to come into your heart and made him Lord of your life, you allowed him to become that. He didn't just cover your sins. He blew them away. He took them out of the picture. He said, forget about it. I'm now making you right. I'm making you right with God the Father. He put you in right standing before God, and he recreated you by the Spirit of God as if sin had never existed in you. You're a brand new man, is what the Bible says. You're a new creation. All the old is passed away, and behold, everything has become new. I am not who I was. I am who I am. I am who I am. I'm not who I was. So don't judge me by who I was. Judge me by who I am. I am the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, is what Paul wrote. You know, many believers keep thinking of themselves as sin-stained instead of blood-washed. And I hear it all the time. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I am a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Take that sin thing away from me. It no longer belongs on me. It shouldn't be associated with me. Because I've been made right with God. Made right with God. You were a sinner. You've now been forgiven. You are a new creation. And we need a working knowledge of this truth. Not just a knowledge of it being in the Bible. You know, it's one thing to know something's in your Bible. It's another thing to know it's working in you. It's working in you. It's a truth to work in you. To work in your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul, your body, your life, and every area of your life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says it. He says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone, anyone. We've got a room full of anyones today. Anyone that belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. It's free. Who loves free stuff? That is good news. It's free. It's a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. It is such good news that you are so that you can be. In other words, you are righteous so that you can live righteously. That's why God has made you righteous, so that you have the ability and the power to rule and reign in this life. In Romans 5, Paul talks about it. He says, for if by the trespass, the sin of one, that's Adam in the beginning, death reigned through the one, that Adam, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, being made right with God, how much more will they reign in life through that one, Jesus Christ? Do you know what your righteous standing before God enables and empowers you to do? It enables and empowers you to live right. It enables and empowers you to live righteously. You can't do the act until you've received the action. You can't do the act of living righteously until you've received the action of God towards you, which makes you right. When you're made right, you can live right. When you're not made right, all you can do is sin, 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 sin. See, people look down on sinners, but sinners sin because that's what they are. It's like a dog barks because it's a dog. A crow crows because it's a crow. A sinner sins because it's a sinner. What does a righteous person do? Lives righteously. They live right because they're empowered to live right. Doesn't mean you're always going to get it right, but you're empowered to reign over life. In other words, your right standing with God, your righteousness is power to you. It's power to you to live well, to live above the guilt, to live above the shame, to live above the accusation, to live above the finger pointing, to live above the memories of people, to live above those memories that flood back to you of circumstances, situations, life events, whatever it might be, that always want to disempower you. Always want to shut you down, slow you down, stop you, stunt you. God just wants you to be free of that junk. God doesn't want us to live condemned in our mind and condemned in our hearts. It was for freedom that Christ died, is what the Word of God says. And the Bible says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. If God's in it, there's freedom. If God's on it, there's freedom. If God's around it, there's freedom. Wherever God's not, there's accusation, there's guilt, there's condemnation in all of those zones. The good news permeates and invades every one of those areas. God wants to set us free from that prison. So the good news is God's righteousness, it empowers us to live and live well. That's what it does. We need to reframe the way that we see us. Reframe the way that we see ourselves. Reframe the way that we see to make sure that we see ourselves as God says we are. So if you're living under condemnation and guilt and shame today, if you're living with that, you're not flourishing. You're not flourishing like the Bible promises that you can. And so you need to flip it. You need to flip that script because a lot of it's going on in your head. A lot of it's going on in your mind. You know the Bible says that you're righteous and made right with God, but your feelings are going, that's not you. You're not good enough. You're struggling. You'll always struggle. You're battling with this. You're battling with that. That's what yourself and your feelings will tell you. The Bible tells us this about the righteous. The Bible tells us that the path of life leads upward for the wise. It talks about it winding upwards. That's what our journey's like. Gets better and better and better and better. Better and better. The pathway that we're involved in. You know, sadly, a lot of believers live with their head hanging down and their head lifted up. They're looking down all the time rather than looking up. And the message of God's word and the good news is lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. We used to sing it in church many years ago. Pastor Marichelle sang a few songs last week. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a great old song that was. And then that other song that you sang, I can't remember what it was, but it was outstanding. Yeah, the new one. That was good. Mercy. We also used to sing a song, lift up you heads, you ancient doors. I'm not going to sing it. Because that would cause you to hang your head. But lift up your heads. Can you just lift your head today? Would you stand with me? Right across the hall today, if you're online today, just get a posture of just faith, whatever that looks like for you this morning and stand. God doesn't want you to be saved and still bound. He wants you to be saved and free. I've never seen anyone that's been saved in a natural way in life and not been happy about it. Not being ecstatic at the fact of having another opportunity, another chance, another go. The last thing you want to do when you've been saved is to live unhappy, ungrateful, unworthy. God saved you because He loved you. He redeemed you. He rescued you. He's made you right with Him. You're not disqualified. You're not unfit for happiness and favor and blessing. You're the perfect candidate for it all. And there's a big, wide, spacious, joyful life that God has got planned for you. So live looking up rather than looking down. Live looking up rather than looking down. Walk into the house like you're coming into your Father's house, because that's where you're coming. That's where you're coming, to the Father's house. Speaking of the Father's house, did you notice we gave it a lick of paint this week outside the front on the building? We put some lipstick on the girl. Put a nice dress on her. It's looking beautiful outside, which I'm so happy about, that it looks good. And when you walk in through those doors of that beautifully new painted building, it's like I'm in my Father's house, and He's happy that I'm here. So when the band strikes up Waltzing Matilda, I'm gonna bring my best voice. I'm gonna sing. When they're singing, I wanna, what was that song you sang? Something about Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. When Mia stands up here and she's going, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. You're going, yeah, that's the one that made me righteous. That's the one that made me righteous. I'm not just going to sing it like, I just want to sing the name of Jesus. No, I'm going to sing it with some passion. I'm going to sing it with some heart. Do you see what the band did then? They just changed that song because they would change a different song. Very subtle. Shame. Shame's a killer. It's a black cloud. It's a black cloud. The Bible talks about it. It says this. It says, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved of us not being right with God. It says, those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer live under a continuous low-lying black cloud because a new power is in operation. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air. Sounds like Richie Beno wrote this. Magnificently cleared the air. Freed you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You know, it is brutal to live according to your feelings about the things that God has already stated that you are. You are all that. You are made right with God today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the good news. If you're not yet a believer in Christ, can I say to you that the only way for you to be made right with God is to put your faith in Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's not something you pay for. It's not something you have to spend 20 years searching for. You don't have to take a year off and travel the world and go and live in the mountains and stare at your belly button trying to find peace. You can find peace with God today, right now, in this moment, by having a revelation, a realization that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he did so for you, and God wants to make you right. Make you right. And I'd love to pray for you today if that's where your life is at. If you're not yet right with God and you want to be made right with God. And why should we be made right with God? That's the question. Why should we be made right with God? The reason is because God is the creator and the sustainer of all life. He's given us the privilege of this life, and with that privilege comes the responsibility that we're answerable to him. And sin has messed us up. It's messed up our world. And the only way to really know how to live and what to do and have the purpose to live for that's appropriate is to know the God life and the meaning of life and the purpose of life and the one that created life. The one you'll stand before one day to give an answer of how you lived. That we live and we're rewarded with life here now, but also eternal life. Peace with God and eternal life forever. Without God, we're lost. Without God, life is a fleeting thing. You live a few years, you die, you go to the grave, and then you face God. And when I stand before God, I don't want to stand before God and go, you know, like God's not going to be impressed with my zero-turn mower when I stand before him. First thing he's going to say is, why didn't you learn to ride that thing properly? But what he will say is, what gives you the right to stand here? And I'm going to turn and I'm going to look at his son, Jesus, and I'm going to go, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I want him to speak for me now. I want him to stand in front of me and say, I know him, Father. It's okay. He's one of the ones that I paid the price for. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not sin stained, he's blood washed. Washed by what Jesus did. Made clean. God just wants to make you clean today. I want to pray a quick prayer for you today if you are not yet right with God and you want to be made right with God today. I don't know any other way for it to happen. It can't happen any other way. But for you to ask God to come into your life and forgive you of your sins today. And so if you're here in the room today, while everyone's got their head bowed for just for a moment and eyes closed, I just want to give you a safe space. I in no way want to embarrass you. I want to give you the opportunity to respond. And if you're online today, you can respond by simply saying, pray for me. And one of our team will contact you. We'll be praying for you today in this intimate moment for you to be made right with God. What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is lift up your hand nice and high, and I'm going to acknowledge you. I'll ask you to put your hand down. Then I'm going to pray for you. You can stay where you are. I'll stay where I am. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray God will come into your heart and make you right with you, right with him, and right with yourself, and give you the confidence that you are a child of God. If you're online today, just write, pray for me. If you're in the room today, right now, while no one's looking around, would you lift up your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand today. I'll ask you to put your hand down, then I'm going to pray for you. Just quickly, if that's you, right across the room today. Put your hand up nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. This is your moment, your opportunity, your space right now to be made right with God. Don't live like you're being tolerated. Live like you're being celebrated. Don't think it, know it. In this moment, come on, God. Speak Jesus over people today. Speak Jesus over people that are struggling today. Speak Jesus over people that are tormented with guilt and shame today and condemnation today. Set people free in every space of life that worries them is my prayer today. Come like a strong wind and magnificently clear the air right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, lift your hands right now. Let's declare and sing this song together over our hearts, speak the name over our lives. Jesus.
Over every heart and every mind.
Powerful name.
Because I know there is peace within.
On the cross, he did it to set us free. He paid the price, he redeemed us, Not only did he redeem us, he made us right with you. He made us righteous. So we're going to walk tall. We're going to hold our head high. We're going to listen to the word of God, not the feelings of our own heart about who we are. We are blood washed, Father, is what we are. We are made pure and holy and righteous in your sight, empowered to rule and reign over life, Father. We're so grateful, so thankful for that today. Grateful that you are our celebrator, not our tolerator today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We celebrate you today in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate him today with good news. It's all good news. All good news. Don't forget Good Friday, 9 till 10. We're here to worship and honor God. We'll do an hour service. Then for those that can, if you can volunteer, we're here for that moment where we're going to feed people that are just lost and lonely and really struggling in life. And, you know, I just think that would be something beautiful for the church to do that really represents the heart of Jesus towards people that are struggling. If you want to sign up, there's a table at the back of the foyer, but just as you leave this morning, you can put your name down there. We'll contact you this week in regards to that. Cafe's open, hospitality's open. Why don't you hang around, especially if you're a new person? Three coffees for free is what you get. That's a good deal. Hang around, get to know some people. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Have an amazing day. Thank you to our online community. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you.